John chapter 6, on page 1010, begin at verse 3. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take almost a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. On Monday night, I was due to have supper with some friends. We'd arranged it some time ago, and they were good friends. So I was really looking forward to it, and I was determined not to be late or arrive there straight from something, exhausted, panting, everything. I wanted to be calm and relaxed and wonderful, because I'm always late whenever I go to supper because something's come out or I fitted something else in the diary or I've just finished my emails. And all was going well until someone who works locally, a woman I know quite well, actually, she managed to come to church 4 times a year, but I do see her outside church, nothing romantic, purely pastoral. I just thought I'd better say that for the record. I suddenly realised I could be walking in. So anyway, let's carry on, forget that diversion. She said, "I need to see you." I realise, trying not to be a feeble Church of England vicar and say to her rather firmly, "I can't do it this evening. I've got something in the diary. I've got to go." She said, "Never mind. You can fit me in. Everyone fits me in." I said, "Yes, I suppose they do." And I said, "What about briefs? It's 6 o'clock, Davies, Basinghall Street. It's near your church. You've no excuse." And she put down the phone. So I thought, oh, right, I better go. So off I went, feeling fairly kind of cross, but smiling like a good vicar, and got there, and she was there, and she said, "Right, we're going to sit over there. There's no point in being uncomfortable." I said, no, and padded along after her, and she said, "Let me get a drink." I thought, I want to be in control of this. And she said, "No," she said, "I earn far more than you do. I'll buy." I said, "Well, just a small glass of white wine will be sufficient." She said, "Well, we'll see about that." And 2 minutes later, she reappeared with a bottle and 2 large glasses. My heart sank. I thought, this is not going to be a quarter of an hour, and I only have 20 minutes, because I wanted to arrive fairly sober. Totally sober, actually. Gosh, it's in moments like this I think I should stop now and we go back to worship. But anyway, we talked and, we sorted out the particular issue that was there, and I pottered off, rushed off to where I was meant to be naturally. I was late, I was exhausted, I was tense, I was apologetic. This relaxed supper party into which I found myself catapulted was immediately not as relaxed until I'd calmed down. And I felt so frustrated myself because I liked her and I'd have liked to have had more of the bottle. We left quite a bit. Well, we left a bit of it, let's be honest. I think it was her, not me. And it's a great relief to read this because I see the Lord Jesus faced with similar temptations to the ones I was faced with on Monday. But, of course, he resisted. Totally. The challenge he was called to was to remain focused on the task that he'd been given by his Heavenly Father, while at the same time juggling with the demands of the moment and expectations of others. And for you and for me, that's our call, to remain focused on the purpose God's given us, while juggling with the demands of the moment and the expectations of other people. You do it all the time, and it's remarkable. But it's clear from the start of the episode that Lord Jesus had actually been trying to get away for a short break after a pretty exhausting few days. But the crowds who'd seen the miracles he'd done were determined not to let this happen. And whatever his plans had been, he looked up and saw all of them coming towards him and knew he had to go with the flow, just as I did on Monday evening. Turned to his disciples for some help, just a quick verbal appraisal of how much they'd learned and taken on board. Philip felt totally defeated by the challenge. It's impossible. A year's salary wouldn't pay for even one bite for all these people. Turned to Andrew, Philip's great friend from childhood, but a natural evangelist. And he did a little better than Philip, introducing this a boy who'd got a small picnic to the Lord Jesus Christ, rightly observing, though, frankly, this wasn't going to go very far. But Jesus took it, blessed it, handed it around, and the rest, as we know, is history. The crowds were understandably amazed, became very excited. We see this start in verse 14. Surely this is the prophet who's going to come into the world, they began to say among themselves. Odd description. Miracle worker might have been better. Prophet, slightly obscure. But they had been reminded, even as they went through the day, that centuries earlier, when Moses had fed the people of God in the wilderness, he promised then that at some time in the future, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. He'd be a prophet who'd not only feed them physically, but would also bring them to a deeper experience of freedom than the experience of freedom of being let out from slavery in Egypt from which Moses had led them. The growing realization of what God might be doing in Jesus led them, as we see in verse 15, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew to a mountain by himself. The Lord Jesus saw the danger, realized that what was going to happen was not part of his Father's plan, indeed could derail it totally. So he shot up a mountain to pray and to be renewed in his God-given purpose. He knew the eternal difference that he'd been called to make to the world. He knew, too, that it involved the cross. The temptation must have been real to be made king. But he was clear that nothing would compromise his following of his God-given purpose, even if it seemed great in the short term. We're reminded in this instant the purpose of the Lord Jesus's life and death, to bring freedom to any who call upon him. And through these verses, Jesus wants you and me to focus afresh on the purpose he has for us in the city. What is it that he wants us to achieve as his believers round here? What makes us as Christians any different from anyone else we work with or know around here? Tomorrow night I've got to go to a reception at an American law firm. You know, they want the vicar, which is always very nice. And I was thinking about how will I be any different there? I'll be drinking the same drink, eating the same canapé, talking about the same things at one level. How will I be fulfilling the purpose God's given me? Because I'm a believer, his representative in that place. Like Jesus, I just need to pause and refocus and not be distracted by something that looks attractive from the difference, the eternal difference he wants me and you to make.